Well, that was very good. Thank you. What a wonderful testimony. His name is wonderful. Wonderful above imagination. The Lord Jesus, incomparable and indispensable. Thank you very much. Now, we promised you that we were going to have a little interview tonight. And Dorsey Merrills is here with me, and I'm asking him to come forward right now. And we're going to find out what these folks have been doing, Connie and Dorsey Merrills. You come up before the microphone because I think my voice is a little louder than yours. And when you work in radio, you get one voice a little closer and one a little farther, and then you can regulate them a little better. Where have you and Connie been this past little while?
We've been down to South America to the beautiful, beautiful country of Ecuador.
Oh, he sounds like one who's been working in Ecuador for a long time. That's what we say, too. Do you know what they call that country? Did they tell you when you were in Quito?
No, but I could give it a name.
Well, what would you call it?
I would call it the Alps of the Andes.
Uh-huh. Well, he's getting very close without having heard it, because lots of people call it the Switzerland of South America.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. And why did you go to Ecuador? Because the country's so beautiful?
No, I didn't know that it was so pretty.
Okay. Well, down in Quito, Ecuador, South America, there is quite a bit of missionary effort. And one of those is HCJB, the Voice of the Andes. And you were connected with that group, weren't you?
Yes.
And what did you and Connie do when you were in Ecuador?
Well, we enjoyed everything we did. As Cornelia worked in the English language broadcast department and in the medical division, and I worked at the extension of the Voice Andes Hospital, which is a building project to enlarge the hospital.
And specifically, what was the job that you had there at the hospital? I think the folks will be very interested to know that.
Well, when I arrived, the man had read my profile, and he said, "I see that you have been an airplane mechanic for about 10 years. He said, "Would you be willing to have as your primary responsibility the maintenance and upkeep of the machinery and the tools?"
Now, why would that be necessary?
Well, the Ecuadorians, and there were 25 laborers working there, do not have a very good extensive background in machinery. And they sometimes neglect and sometimes abuse machinery. And then they wonder why it won't work.
And so they had you there as a Mr. Fix-It to get them back into operation again, right?
I tell you, there was times that I was in tears over some of the equipment they handed me to fix. I had to repair things from Czechoslovakia and Red China, old equipment that should have been abandoned a long time ago. But when I got on my knees and got down beside it to fix it, and I didn't know anything about it, the Lord undertook, and we got it to running.
Well, we could use Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer."
And he did.
Okay. And then you told me that besides that secretarial work and correspondence work and helping in the medical division and fixing the tools, you and your wife had another great opportunity. What was that?
We went to Ecuador loaded with Spanish tracts, and we wanted to do literature evangelism. And except for the first weekend we were there, we spent our weekends in various places throughout Ecuador, giving out Spanish language tracts.
And you think that's a worthwhile endeavor?
Oh, I really do. I have never seen people accept tracts so eagerly and with such great appreciation as it was there. Sometimes they would stop immediately where they received the tract and read it, and then they may come following you and ask you for some more that they might give them to their amigos.
Well, that's right. And you know, across the years, we've met so many people whose first contact with the gospel was through a tract. And some people, in getting tracts, not only saved the first one and the second one, but the whole pile of them. And we have met some new believers who just had a big stack of tracts that they'd been saving and reading over and over again. And did you get rid of all the tracts that you took with you?
Yes, we got rid of all the ones we took, and we bought some more down there, and we got rid of them. As we were leaving Guayaquil, which was our last stop on an airplane before we left, I was going around through the little shops handing out tracts, and One lady received the tract and she sat down and began to read it, and soon she was tapping me on the shoulder and she wanted a couple more. And just before we got on the airplane, I had about 18 tracts left, and the lady came to me and she wanted the rest of them, and I gave them to her. She was going to give them to her friends, her amigos. And then she came running to me with a gift out of her shop. She wanted to give me a present for those tracts.
How about that? Now, would you think that there are some people in this crowd that might do something like you folks have done? What was that remark? I'd like to... Amen. All right, all right. I thought maybe you were going to say now he's gone to meddling or something like that.
I had never thought about anything like this, but the Lord moved it upon my heart to go to Ecuador, and I had what I call a Jacob experience. The Lord wrestled with me all night one night about a year and a month ago about this, and I didn't know where he was going to send me, but I told him I would go, and later on in the summer he opened that up to me. So it could be, if the Lord is speaking to you about something like that, I think you could do that. You don't have to be tremendously physically adapt. You just have to have a willing heart.
That's a good emphasis, that last thing. And by the way, if you'd like to sort of make a trip to inspect things and find out, we have been advertising these tours to Ecuador that HCJB provides, and I noticed there's still some folders there on the table that you can take and learn all about it. You actually went on a tour first, didn't you?
Yes, about a year and a month or two ago, I actually went on a tour. And while I was there, I was invited into a missionary's house for supper. Wally Kulikov, who came out of Russia, it took him 4 years to walk out of Russia across Mongolia, down across China, and come out through the window of Hong Kong and move to Australia, where he was commended to be a broadcaster back into Russia because he knows the language. And it was in his house one evening that the Lord began to speak to me about the possibility of just turning my life over to the Lord for whatever he might be using me for. And it was in that house that this experience began in my life, and it was through the night that the Lord dealt with me, and that's when I said yes to the Lord. I would go, Lord, if you want me to, I'll do what you want me to do, wherever you want me to do it. And it was a joy to do it in Ecuador.
Thank you very much. And I have an idea that some of the folks here are saying tonight, well, maybe we might try that too. It's an unforgettable experience. In fact, it's an impacting, often life-changing experience. I like to tell people in missionary conferences that it used to be just a few years ago that if you were beyond 30 years of age, you could sit in a missionary conference and feel perfectly safe because you weren't going to get called. But now, nobody is safe anymore. And you just can't imagine the different people whom God is calling and sending out to different places whose service is being used by Him in a very wonderful way. Thank you very much for that word of testimony and for your service. I did put a few more folders on the table because I noticed that certain of the folders had just about run out. There's a purple one there on the table that tells about this joint effort of the missionary broadcasting stations to get the gospel into all the major languages of the world in worldwide broadcasting. You might like to read that. And then, these books have been going very well. Not too many left. Can we still offer them for the same price? All right. Two for $3.75. That's a lot better than you can get them regularly. And these two books take you through the first 12 chapters of Acts, as far as commentary and inspiration is concerned. Tomorrow morning, the Lord willing, we're going to go into the third of the missionary journeys. And our scripture passage is Acts chapter 18, verse 23, and continuing to chapter 19, verse 41. And I'm calling that the third journey, God's Word growing mightily in Ephesus. And we'll concentrate primarily on the city of Ephesus, where Paul spent his longest time in evangelism and teaching. And then tomorrow night, we're going to be thinking about the purpose of service. One of the greatest reasons for service is to bring satisfaction to our Lord Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Count Zinzendorf, the great Moravian leader, used to talk about winning for the lamb that was slain the reward of his sufferings. And that's what we're going to think about tomorrow night. This evening, we're going to consider provision for service. Only growing Christians render the most fruitful service. And for that, let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And this is the verse we're going to think about especially. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I pray that the Lord will take this passage of Scripture and make it just the right thing for us in our lives tonight. I think that one of the greatest problems that we find in our churches and in our fellowships and in our assemblies is the problem of static Christianity. We just stay in the same place spiritually and we don't advance. It reminds me of travel through the central part of Ecuador. You know, you can go from a city way in the north of the country by the name of Tulcan to a city way in the south of the country by the name of Loja. And over all that journey, you travel through the central range of the Andes Mountains. And as you travel along, you have to go over a mountain pass, and then you come down to another level again. You travel through a valley for a while, and then you go over another mountain pass, and you come down again, and then you travel along another valley. And all the way from Tulcan in the north to Loja in the south, you're going up and you're coming down. And you know, when you come to the end of your long trip, you are at exactly the same altitude than when you started. There's some of us that way in the Christian life. We have so many ups and so many downs that after many years, we're still at exactly the same place. Wasn't that the lament of the Apostle Paul when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, that he couldn't speak to them as spiritual people, but as babes in Christ? And when we're babes in Christ, then spiritually we act in a childish way, and childish people cause a lot of problems. We need to remember that if we're going to serve the Lord correctly, then we need to be growing Christians. I always appreciated Theodore Epp quoting a phrase from Bounds, I think it was, that men are always looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men and for better women. And that comes by growth in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, we had an organization come to our mission for the purpose of scrutinizing us and evaluating us and looking us over to see if by any chance they could tell us how to improve, how to be organized in a better way, how to be more effective in our service, and so on. The man who led that evaluation is a very outstanding person. He challenged me on many occasions. And on one occasion, I said to him, "Spencer, you've been all over the world evaluating missions. Is there some overpowering impression or thought that comes to you as you think about all of this experience?" He said, "Abe, yes, there is." He said, "The overpowering thought that comes to me is that unless we have a higher level of spiritual life, we're going to lose out in our service for God and for the world. And in the book called Missionary Go Home, the writer of that book emphasizes that in many parts of the world, there's a great deal of criticism concerning the shallowness of Western missionaries. That means we haven't grown in the Christian life as we ought to grow. And tonight, we're going to think for a little while about this statement, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There are several conclusions that I want to draw and pull out of this verse, which I think apply very much here. First of all, I think we've got to start with this. In the Christian life, as in other things, God doesn't do anything halfway. I think you agree with me, don't you? He doesn't start something only to abandon it later. He doesn't make a promise only to forget it. And when God created the world, he didn't start it and then leave it halfway. He finished it. And the Bible says that after he had finished the creation, he saw that it was good. And when the Lord Jesus came to earth to be our Savior, to walk among men, to die on the cross, when he did die on the cross, he was able to say, "It is finished." He didn't do it halfway. You know, many of us are not that way. We begin something with a good deal of enthusiasm, and then we forget it. I don't want to lay any kind of a guilt trip on anybody tonight, but I think there are a number of us who can think of projects that we started with great enthusiasm, and that we never finished. Or we start something and have to abandon it for lack of ability or unforeseen circumstances, which is something, of course, that never happens to the Lord. I remember quite a few years ago now, that period in my life as a boy, when I looked forward to getting my first two-wheeled bicycle. Some of you can remember that, can't you? Many of us were depression kids. We didn't just get a new bicycle anytime we wished for one. And I looked forward to the day when I would get my new two-wheeled bicycle. And I really enjoyed it. I hadn't had it very long when a friend of mine of my age convinced me that if we could only take that bicycle apart and do certain things to it, it would run better than it was running. Well, I believed him. Now, I'm very unmechanical, but I trusted his mechanical ability. And we sat down and we confidently took the whole bicycle apart until before us there were nothing but parts and pieces. And then you know what happened? He confessed to me that he didn't know how to put it back together again. And he ran off and he left me with what I call that bucket of bolts. This was something that he had started and that I had started and that we did not finish. It's not so with God. You can count on him. That's a great comfort when everything nailed down is coming loose. And here's a great principle that I'd like to underline. As far as Christian growth is concerned, everything that depends on him, he will do. As far as Christian growth is concerned, everything that depends upon him, he will do. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." We have in the older version. I have a version that says, "The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." They just don't change. James 1:17 says that with him there is no variation or shadow of turning. And that's what the verse says, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will keep on performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, if that's true, then there's a second thing that is true. If that's true, then in the Christian life, the normal thing is growth. All through the Word of God, you get the message that when we are followers of God, when we put our trust in him, when we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the life that is started ought to be growing and advancing and going forward. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, if that's true, then anything else but growth in the Christian life is abnormal. And the new life in Christ, under the blessing of God, must manifest itself. More hatred of sin, more love to God, more daily victory, more knowledge of His will. And if that is not true, then our Christian lives are abnormal. And tonight, I'd like to say this. Let's allow the Spirit of God to examine us. Have we really advanced in spiritual experience? Or are we the same tonight as we were 5 years ago? Or 25 years ago? Look into your heart and into your life for a moment. Have you and I been growing in the things of Christ? Have we advanced spiritually? Is that normal thing that is true of the Christian life taking place in us? Or is it something like we talk about certain people who at a certain stage in life, they just stop growing? I'm thinking now in the physical and emotional sense. And you've heard the statement, haven't you? He died at 40 and he was buried at 60. That is the last 20 years. There was just no activity, no growth, no advance as far as his life is concerned. And I think one of the great challenges to all of us is Proverbs 4:18. Listen to this. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I'd like to ask you, as I ask myself tonight, are our lives shining more and more unto the perfect day? That is, until the day is complete, until the sun reaches its zenith, until it's high noon, as far as our lives are concerned. Well, there's a third thing that is also taught in the Word of God in that connection. Let me recite the verse again. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It really means will keep on performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the third thing then is, the Christian growth does not happen all at once. We all know that we will not be transformed in one day from babes in Christ to spiritual adults. Don't you love that verse in Hebrews 5:14 that says, solid food belongs to those who are of a full age. Those who by reason of what? Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's a wonderful thing to advance in such a way in the Christian life that by experience and by maturity and by listening to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, we develop that kind of spiritual intuition that is able to distinguish between good and evil. Or I think of Romans 5:3-5 that talks of this progression. Tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Think for a moment of all the illustrations or examples that the Bible uses to describe the Christian life. It describes it as a building, as a race, as a walk, as a warfare. Those are not things that happen all at once. And you know, friends, I think some of us are not advancing in the Christian life like we ought to because we're waiting for some unusual, flamboyant, outstanding emotional experience that will radically change us overnight. Now, it's true that some of us do have crises experiences. Our brother Dorsey talked tonight about his Jacob experience when God was dealing with him. And when he finally came to the place of saying yes to the call of God in that connection. But for the most part in the Christian life, it's step by step. It's day by day. It's week by week. It's month by month as we go forward in the Christian life. And some of us are not growing because we are sure that God can help us in some difficulty around the corner, but not this one. Have you had that experience? The Bible says we're promised grace in time of need. Mercies that are new every morning. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And you know what I see in our Christian churches and fellowships?
I see people running hither and yon and every imaginable place to get some more exciting spiritual experience that they can use and go forward in the Christian life, but it doesn't work that way. And when I see people doing that, I'm reminded of an experience that we had at the Grand Canyon of the Colorado. When we were there visiting, suddenly a car raced into the park, came screeching around this curve and around that curve, and disobeying speed limits and signs and markers, this man drove almost to the ridge of the canyon. And he was in a convertible. He left the motor running. He left the door open. He ran to the rim of the canyon, just as excited as could be. And then when he looked at it, he said, "Gee, nothing but a pile of rocks." And he went back to his car, jumped into it, slammed the door shut, screeched out of the park again, on to the next dramatic experience. But he didn't have any eyesight or heart or spirit for the beauty of that canyon. He maybe had come 500-600 miles for that tremendous experience. And then he says, "Gee, nothing but a pile of rocks." I think sometimes in the Christian life there's some of us that just run from one place to another to try to find that experience that we will have that will suddenly catapult us into a place spiritually that we've longed for a long time. I like to say that we want to become spiritual astronauts, but we don't want to go through the training. Jim Elliot once said, "One does not surrender life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a lifetime." And God stands ready to help you and me right now. That frustrating circumstance, that great thing that keeps bugging you, not some distant problem that you are fighting with in Don Quixote fashion, but right now, this circumstance, this need, today's problem, today's difficulty, that's the place to prove God and to grow today as we trust Him and as we wait on Him to meet our need in this circumstance. Don't you find that you often had this idea in your own Christian life? You know, there's so many curves in the road that somehow on the road of life you can't get on a straightaway to make great advances. And you're waiting for the day when all the curves are passed and you're on the expressway and then you're really going to travel in the Christian life. Well, friends, in the Christian life, most of the road is filled with curves and ups and downs. And it's in that place that you and I have the privilege and the opportunity of proving God and growing in the Christian life, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now there's another thing that this verse tells us, and that is, someday we shall be perfect. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it, until when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. My friends, isn't it wonderful to know that God has a final goal for us, and that goal is perfection. Nothing less. The church gathered in His presence will be perfect. Ephesians 5:27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Some of you probably have in your libraries a tiny little volume that is entitled The Greatest Thing in Life. It's a sermon that was preached by Henry Drummond on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you don't have it in your library, you go to a Christian bookstore and ask for the little book, The Greatest Thing in Life, which is that outstanding sermon preached by Henry Drummond. And in that message, among other things, this is what he says. We can stand alongside a faltering brother and say, someday this soul shall be perfect, brighter than an angel, and whiter than snow. Well, that's a great hope for all of us, isn't it? In our failures and in our foibles, in our defeats, and in the places where we know we have our defects and our problems, isn't it wonderful to know that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, someday we shall be perfect? And when we work with others, and sometimes they test our patience, and they don't advance like they ought to advance. It's good to remind ourselves of the words of Henry Drummond when he said, "Someday this soul shall be perfect, brighter than an angel and whiter than snow," because that's God's plan. Quite a few years ago now, when another fellow and I were pastoring a Spanish church in the city of Quito, one night when we were having a normal service without our realizing it, a man and a woman came walking along the sidewalk past the church, and they were so desperate and their life had been so sad and so bad that they had just mutually agreed to commit suicide, and they were on their way to some place where they were going to kill themselves. And as they came past the church on the sidewalk, they heard the singing of the congregation, and they went inside. And they sat down on the back bench and listened to the singing and listened to the message. And when the invitation was given that night, Carlos Minda and his wife stepped forward and received Christ as Savior. They had had a terrible existence. They were deeply in debt. In fact, a couple of days after his conversion, he was thrown into jail for his debt. And we finally were able to get him out. And then they worked hard to pay off those debts. Carlos was an alcoholic. We were trusting and praying with him that God would free him from the vice of alcohol. And then the day came, the wonderful day came, when they paid all their debts and they left the city of Quito to go to a new pioneering area where they were going to start life all over again. And things went well for a while, when one day, Carlos accepted an invitation to go to a local civic fiesta. And at that civic fiesta, there was lots of liquor flowing. And Carlos took his first glass of liquor after some time. And then when the first one had been taken, he couldn't resist others. And into the night when they were celebrating in the festivities and people were getting drunk, Carlos had a Bible with him and he sold his Bible for a bottle of liquor that he could drink some more. And when morning came, he was lying sprawled on the floor, dead drunk, under the tables with the bottles of liquor everywhere and his Bible gone. And when he finally woke up, he was so embarrassed and so sorry and so unhappy and so heartbroken. But thank God, like David, he cried out his confession to God and asked for forgiveness and restoration. And Carlos and his wife went on in the Christian life from that point. But their life had been and was a long life of struggle and difficulty. Now Carlos and his wife are in heaven. Isn't it wonderful to know that that struggling brother is now perfect through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How glorious, how perfect, not one defect, not one sin. One day I heard Harry Rimmer, whom some of you have heard preach in the past. I heard him talk about this particular truth, and he made an illustration, a description of himself. He said, "The model now is ugly. The chassis has defects. The motor fails miserably. But wait till you see the new model that God will give us." That's right. And all of us tonight, who are followers of the Lord Jesus, can rejoice in that hope of perfection in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now just a few final words of application. I want you to notice from this verse that true growth comes as the result of divine work in our lives. Notice carefully what this verse says. It doesn't say, "God has begun a good work in you, now you must complete it." That would be too bad, wouldn't it? That would be sad. But the verse says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you, that same one will perform it and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And just as we received him as our Savior and found in him everything that we needed and everything that we could not do, so also in the Christian life, it's divine work and divine grace that makes us grow and that makes us go forward. That means then, if we are not growing, then the simple reason is that we are putting obstacles in the way of God's working. And the interesting thing is that most of us, if we have those obstacles, know what they are. And we ought to ask God to take them away. And then by simple faith, accept the promise that he who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There are some of us who wish growth in the Christian life, but we don't will it. We'd like to grow, but we don't really want to grow. Like the man who was in my office in Quito a few years ago, he was struggling very hard. He sat there weeping as we talked together about his need and about his problem. He wanted to grow. He wanted to be victorious, but he didn't want to give up the very thing that was blocking the growth in his life and was keeping him for the abundant fullness that God had intended for him. So, if we're going to accept the promise of God and receive his resources, then we must ask him to clear out the obstacles that stand in the way of the full flow of those channels, providing what we need. And the last thing is so simple, it's so obvious that you hardly dare to mention it, and that is, we need to use the means that God has provided. I think especially again of 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I like how someone divides that. For doctrine, that tells us what is right. For reproof, that tells us when we are wrong. For correction, that tells us how to become right. For instruction in righteousness, that tells us how to stay right. And when we do that, then we find wonderful growth in the Christian life. Let's ask ourselves tonight, are we growing? Or have we concluded that a stagnated life is normal and we've gotten used to it? Does it need to be said about some of us spiritually, died at 40, buried at 60, because we haven't grown any longer? And have we gotten used to a stagnated life like that fellow who drove so long on his bicycle with crooked handlebars that when he finally straightened them, he didn't know how to drive that bicycle anymore and he fell? He'd gotten so used to crooked handlebars. I hope that we haven't done that. That we expect and recognize that growth in the Christian life is the normal thing. And if we've stopped growing, if we are stagnated, let us say tonight, O Lord, with all my heart, I accept your promise, being confident of this very thing, that you who have begun a good work in me will keep on performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. O God, I don't want to be stagnated and static. I don't want to have just a series of up and downs so that after 1 year or 5 years or 10 years, I'm at exactly the same place. I don't want to be a babe in Christ. I want to be one who knows how to take strong meat because my senses have been exercised through use to discern both good and evil, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will keep performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. Only growing Christians render the most fruitful service. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take this simple and profound promise of Scripture and make it real in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you never do anything halfway, and you don't do the Christian life halfway. We thank you, Lord, that in the Christian life, the normal thing is growth. We thank you that we can grow from day to day and from week to week and month to month. As we surrender our lives to you, we thank you, Lord, that one day we shall be perfect with the perfection of Jesus Christ. O God, we thank you for your divine work in us. Clear out the channels that are clogged, we pray, and help us to take advantage of the means of grace that are given to us. With all of our hearts, we tell you that we love you, that we want to grow into spiritual and mature people, in the spiritual and in the Christian life, that we might honor you in everything that we do and say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.